The glorious Shekinah image in which Adam was made as to the sonship was lost, and Adam found himself waking up to the fact that he was out of the dust and had only been elevated to be illuminated and had come back to the natural side of life, of the dust out of which all beasts was created and was no more than the animal. And Satan entered into him and Adam all die. But Jesus Christ came, restored that wonderful Shekinah image in which we were made as to the inner man and not an illumination as to the outer man. And has sealed us on the inside to where we cannot sin, we cannot be spotted. The evil one cannot touch us until the day of the change of this body, having borne the image of the earthy as to this tabernacle of Adam, as to the beastly. This one being dissolved, Peter said, the Lord showed me I must put off shortly my tabernacle. I have another one eternal in the heavens, that not made with hands. It is a house, he said, even the tabernacle in the earth being gone, and now the temple being present. The temples of God, whose temples ye are. God dwelling on the inside, walking in you and talking with you. And if any man deny that Christ is presently come in the flesh, he is an antichrist, because Christ does live in the human body. And you have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel, so then that means that that wonderful Shekinah, God saying, and you cover with a covering as to the skins that he put on you, but not of me, he said, as to the Shekinah image in which he was made, as to my own image. And today we have that wonderful Shekinah back, and we're again in his image as to the inner man. And we don't know what he looks like, because unless we can see by faith into the inner man, we don't know. We just look at the outer man, which is in the image of all kind of beasts. But it is a true fact that when he appears in Thessalonians chains, that the purchased possession, which is the creature, even the body, will be changed as to this creature into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, which sons of God you already are, as to the inner man that's sealed by the glorious Spirit of Christ, even the seal of the great Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed, as to the inner man, unto the day of redemption, even the redemption or the change of the outer man as to the body, which Paul said would take place. And that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And so then the last trumpet sounded, and a voice declared, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Well, we're back to talk about Jesus, and I've been started talking here before I even read. Life is a beautiful thing with the Lord Jesus. Great is the multitude of his thoughts, and the Bible said in his time hath made all things beautiful. Glad to have you out with us. Life's just a little blurry always up here, and it's kind of hard to tell just who's here and who's not here. But I can see Paul real well here on the front. The light blurred a little when he turned it on over there, but I see Paul. He's with us. He's been coming regular with us, and we're certainly glad to have Paul here. Chris, I suppose, his son, is one of the finest fellows I ever met in my life. Hard worker. And it's so good to see father and son sitting together in the house of the Lord to love the Lord. It's a little saying, the family that prays together stays together. And that's very true. I see Paul's wife back here also. And if you'd kind of raise your hand, let me know something up here, I could kind of figure out who you are back there. I see some sitting along here, a couple of fellas here. I'm not sure. It seemed like I ought to know these fellas, didn't it? Okay. I thought I recognized Joe on the end. I didn't recognize David and Carl. I think David, he's done got so small here, I can't hardly tell him from Carl. I thought David was a big husky guy the last time I saw him. He's really lost some weight. Goodness gracious. How many appreciate these folks being with? I think maybe his dad's back here too. Yeah, his dad's back here. Maybe his mother, I don't know. These lights are a little blurry, and I believe she is. These folks there, some of these folks are from California, and it's been a long time since they've been in here with us. Carl and David, I know them all real well, and Joe, and also Joe's wife. The little ones, I see some of the little ones here with us. We really appreciate having these folks with us, and how wonderful it is to be a Christian and to know that you're eternal, that you're never going to die. There's no way you can die. You pass from death unto life, and you shall never die. No way to die. And that is so wonderful. Jesus, the Bible said, and the law, not one jot nor tittle of it shall pass till all be fulfilled. And Jesus came at Calvary and fulfilled it all, and then looked up and said, it's finished, Father. And Paul said, inasmuch as he fulfilled the law, there's no more law, no more transgression, no more death. And he said, because him having fulfilled the law, Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith, that is, with the grace of God through faith, or believing in the righteousness of God, and that without the deeds of the law. Because the law is to the spirit of the law, Christ within Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle in that body. As to God's satisfaction, offered that body, that lamb for sin, and moved into your heart, and today he has made you perfect. And there's no shortcomings with you, because the Bible says God hath perfected forever, or made perfect forever, them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, and that he hath given the name of the Lord, beginning at Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth, that salvation or remission of sin should be taught in that name, and that we all should repent, be baptized, as to be buried into his death, having been buried with him. We also are resurrected, or have been in his likeness, or will be at that coming, as to the natural change. And inasmuch as you have the name of the Lord, he said it is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are saved. And you, having lost your identity in death, as to the body of the Lord Jesus, and that body to never be seen in the presence of God again. Never. He never looks at your face. He never looks at your form. He never sees the bastard child image again. He done away with it. He poured out his wrath on it. He said before Calvary, I'll despise your image in the morning. And when the morning came, as to the day started dawning within your heart, or Calvary, he despised that image and poured out his full wrath on it. And today it's taken away. And today the life of Christ is within you, that hope of glory, living and overcoming this body. As I said before, no man can live a Christian life. No man has ever lived a Christian life. No man will ever live a Christian life. It is Christ within you, that hope of glory. And that Christ, just as it overcome that natural body of Jesus and lived that perfect life to the satisfaction of the Heavenly Father, so is he within you, as even a little babe is the divine concept, or the conception of that divine seed that's within you. His seed remaining within you, and you cannot sin because you're born of God. And that means that he is living the Christian life within you and daily overcoming as you submit the outer man. And you don't want to rebel against him. You don't want to be contrary. You don't want to make any provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof as to the desire when it comes to the natural man, but submit him, swear to your own hurt, mortify the deeds of the body, and go on to the wonderful things of God, that this heavenly treasure that's on the inside, which is the life and knowledge of God, might be made manifest in your mortal genes, even as the light shined within Moses' face, even as that light shined, and he was only illuminated, even as it shined within Stephen's face, and even as this glory was about Jesus when he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. So then let's submit our bodies, and let's give our bodies a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, the Bible tells us. And let us go on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundations of repentance as of dead works and dead faith toward God, but going on to finish the building. I am the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting this outer man as to a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, the Bible said, let us go unto a full reward. For everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master. But if you overcome, you can sit down in the throne with him, and heaven is his throne, and that's a big place. And so then he tells us that we should go on to perfection. And as I say so often to you, that sanctification is to a daily sanctification, whereas the Bible said sanctify yourself daily. This is wonderful. You should sanctify yourself daily as to the submission of the outer man, whereas it was said in the Old Testament, stay away from your wives, stay away from certain things. You're going to be before God tomorrow, and they abstain from those things as a daily sanctification. But in this daily sanctification, it has nothing to do with your sanctification unto salvation, eternal life, which is as to the inner man, having been sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus, and that unto eternal life, or having been perfected forever, in that the sanctification was sufficient. Jesus saying, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light, even to the faith which is in me, or by me, by which they're sanctified. So then we're God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, predestinated unto good works, and today we are his precious darling children, ready to meet him, because we are without spot and we are without wrinkle and we are without blemish. So it's a thrill to come together with saints of God, and it's a thrill to me. Solomon said, who can speak to this so great a people? And when I look out, I've done this a number of times, and looking out over the audience, and I thought, Lord, these are gods. How can a man speak to gods? And as to the natural, I would still be but a man. And yet in the sight of God, all of that's gone away and buried. And to look on the outward appearance is an error. That's the spirit of error. And God has not given us the spirit of error. For the Bible teaches that we have known Jesus after the flesh, that is, as a man. But from henceforth, we know him no more as that image of sin. We know him after the quickening spirit, as to the resurrection, having been delivered as an image of sin for our transgressions, and raised again for our justification as in another form. So we know him as the wonderful quickening spirit, the Almighty God. And when I look at you, I do not know you as a natural man as born in the flesh unto death through Adam, but as a quickening spirit, having been born again, and by the washing of the water of the word through the regeneration of that, having become gods, and I behold you as gods, to realize that you are not mere man, and it's not appointed unto you to die. It was appointed unto the man to die, and at Calvary you died, and we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and the things of the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus, having been buried in his grave through baptism, losing our identity in his name, and then being resurrected in the newness of life. And Paul said, behold, all things have passed away, and now all things are new, and I'm a new creature. I'm in a new place, and I'm dwelling in heaven, and at the rent veil, my spirit went back to God who gave it. It's been translated into the Spirit of Christ, which spirit is hid with God as to the great, wonderful, eternal glory. And he is there, and we're in him, and we're no more in this world, because we're not of this world. I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, the Heavenly Father said, until the time of the change of this creature, or the restoring, or the coming back in, as to the garden, the millennium, or that bringing back of all things. And today you're sitting in heavenly places, and you that do not walk in the flesh, then the Bible said you can please God. But if you be in the flesh, you can never please God. So then that means that you are not in the flesh, for he hath chosen you out of the flesh. It's impossible for you to walk in the flesh. It's impossible for you to be in the flesh, because your body is dead and buried, and your spirit went back to God who gave it, and you cannot walk in the flesh. So the Lord has taken care of all things for us, and it's so wonderful to be a child of God and overcome this infatuation as to the infiltration that Paul spoke of as concerning the body, saying, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Knowing that the law could not do it, in that it was weak through the flesh, and my flesh weak to perform it, and that the law was spiritual, Paul said, but me being carnal, sold unto sin, I now have a performance. And though I have had a will on the inside, I could not find a performance. Now, having my will, the Bible said, having a will, have a performance, and we do as to a daily sanctification and submission, turning away from the flesh. But on the other hand, I have a performance, and that performance is at the right hand of God. Jesus performed it all for me in the body, and made me perfect by that offering. So then, him being my performance, I give him glory and praise and honor, shout the victory, and make this life, as I develop from a little child on the inside, I make it manifest in my mortal genes into the fullness of that wonderful Jesus body that pleased God so well, who took my place at Calvary. With these wonderful things and the wonderful treasure, faith cometh by hearing, as to the knowledge of God, or the word of God, and he that God sends will speak God's word. And so then when these things come, then Paul said, as I have delivered these ordinances unto you, you keep these ordinances and you don't do away with them, or you give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Take heed how that you hear them and incorporate them in your lifestyle, that it might be that you are a light even to the ends of the world, as to let your light shine, as Brother Taylor sing, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not as to doing good works unto salvation, but as the nature of the tree, the apple tree, the orange tree, whatever the nature, you being partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, let this nature manifest these wonderful fruits unto perfection in your life. Don't dwarf them. Submit and let them be manifested in your life, that people may feed from your tree. For this is the tree of life, and that from Calvary, not as the old tree of knowledge from the garden, which John laid the axe to the root of at Calvary, cutting it down as to the generations all the way back, and to that bastard child image, and bringing forth as to Christ the tree of life. And today you're members of the body. You are born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Let's read a little bit from chapter 22 in the book of Revelation. Just read a little passage of scripture here. On the 22nd chapter, it says here, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Whereas remember now, the Bible said, I'll make you like a tree that's planted by the waters, even the rivers of living waters, and you'll bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither. And evidently it is that you do produce fruit, and that fruit's of the Spirit. And the leaves for the healing of the nation, as to the words, as to the tongue that's filled with words. And you being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and him being the tree that the Bible says at Calvary, if they do this in a green tree, what will they do to a dry? And that the Bible said that the trees of God are full of sap. And you being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're full of the life of God, even eternal life. And your leaves don't wither because you never die. And if you are an evergreen tree, that's very evident that you don't die, that the life is to the sap, which is symbolic in our day as to the seasons. This life never backs out. You do have a root, and that deep down into the water tables, bringing forth this wonderful water of life and all those little roots around about, as we say, that strengthens against the wind, as to tearing your tree down or picking up these little elements in every direction and mixing them into the stream as it comes up through that deep embedded root down in the water tables, then it makes you feel with life that your leaves don't wither and your fruit comes forth in the season. And as much as there's no curse on it to bring forth a winter time, and there's no parasites to eat off of your tree, there's no reason for a curse as to the cold winter to come to kill the life in your tree. And even if it went down as it is seasonally as to us right now, waiting on the change, it only goes back into the root. Whereas Jesus being that root, for the Bible said if God had not left us a root, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. But he left us a root, even the offspring of David, which root is the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ in our heart. Some people are already dead, we say. Some are already dead. They that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. But the Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the root, which means that they have killed themselves spiritually, having to cross the deadline by not honoring God, obeying God, doing what God told them to do, or loving the Lord, or that is blaspheming the Spirit, of which there's no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. So he says here in the midst of the street, he said, we find this as to the tree of life. They're giving forth fruits of life. And we say again, why? Because their roots go down into the river of life. If their roots are in the river of life, it's bound to give forth fruits of life. And it said, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bears 12 manner of fruits and yields her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, as John saw it. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Remember the Bible said, and the Lamb is the light of that city, which means the understanding. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book, he which testifieth these things says, Surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. Now, moving back over here is to a scripture we read the other night, just reading a little of it here. It's very evident that the Lord is speaking of the end of the world. And after the millennium there as to the coming of New Jerusalem. But here we are now back before the millennium. And it is toward the end time and is about the middle of the week. And here in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read, And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was with upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, Unto me seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people, nations and tongues and kings. Now, John, taking the little book, it was said that it will make your belly bitter. I mentioned this the other night in one of our little talks here. When it says in your mouth, sweet as honey, it indicates that God is good. For the Bible said, taste and see if the Lord is good. And then when it says bitter to thy belly, it is unto the serpent, because we are born of the first man, Adam, as to the natural man, in the image of the fallen one. And the Bible teaches that God hath put the serpent upon his belly, and upon his belly shall he go all the days of his life, and dust shall he eat. So it is a generation of vipers. All are upon their belly, because the Bible said all of their labors for their belly and for their mouth, because their belly craves it of them. And so then we know that it is the generation of vipers. John cut that tree down, as I said, that family tree brought forth another family tree of whom ye yourselves are of his family. So even Christ. And so then we know that this generation of serpents, it is a passion thing with them. And a continuation of lust of the eyes and pride of the life. And the Bible said the world, all that's in the world, is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And the world and all that's in the world, including the people, shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. For there is a spirit world, there is a spirit man. And that means a quickening spirit as to a man that occupies a wonderful world. Paul said first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, or use the terms third heaven. And we know by that there's got to be a first and a second somewhere. Now, the thing is, the thing that we don't have time to talk on this morning would take too long. But the thing is that Lucifer is in heaven. That's the thing that makes it so terrifying when we think about our liberties in God. That Satan is in heaven. But anyway, whether we get to comment on that or not, I don't know. But we do want to say something here as to pertaining to this last angel. In the days of the voice, the Bible said that the mystery of God should be finished. It's mystery, not as to a plural, but in the singular, as mystery of God should be finished, whereas the terms is used. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God, who is a spirit, was manifested in a human body called Jesus. And being manifested in the flesh, he was justified in the spirit, even though he kept the law both every jot and tittle. He never was justified by any human deeds as to keeping the law, but had to be, as to our example, a justification by the Spirit. And no flesh is justified by the law. People who teach the law are heretics. Paul said, after you admonish them at once or twice, after the second admonishing, just reject them. And we see here that this great angel is declaring the end. And yet we know that this is from the beginning, but the Bible said the things of God, that God declareth the end from the beginning. For all of his works is known unto him. And our names already written down in the Lamb's book of life before we come into the world. I say again, as Jacob and Esau, the children having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to election as to him that calleth and not of him that runneth. It was said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And so then we know that there's no unrighteousness with God as to the foreknowledge of the telescopic view of God. Looking down through the telescope of time, he foresaw you before you was ever born into the world. Your mannerism, the way that you would react when the gospel came to you as to whether you would accept it or reject it. And as Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. And so God just wrote them down in the Lamb's book of life. And in the end, the Bible said everyone whose names were not found written in the book of life were lost. Well, anyway, we could say much, much, much about those things, but here we find that earth is the footstool. And Satan, it is said, is to the woman's seed, that she shall bruise the head of the serpent. Which means, as we illustrate it sometimes with that little sling that David uses to the head of that giant, in that little word as to the stone. Just the word in faith. Putting the word in faith destroys the opposition of the enemy, in that enemies are shown as demon spirits greater in power and might than man. And though that one thing helped all of Israel from their victory, yet God had someone, and that someone had to do with David, which was symbolic of Jesus. It says even when he stood on the mountain and cried and said, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, as Jesus cried, David did so as to when he was driven off of his throne. So earth is the footstool, and that means there's a generation of vipers here, and they are striking at your heel, or really they're striking at your soul. But your soul being the foundation upon which you're established, the old serpent that's in the dust is this generation of vipers, eating dust, or all of this that we see as to the generation of vipers, their labor for their belly. See, and so then that among the thorns. And we find that this generation of vipers, they are constantly trying to kill the soul of mankind. While as of yet, God has taken the spiritual being of the inner man and taken him away to heaven, having hid him in the Spirit of Christ, or translated him as a spiritual being into the Spirit of Christ, and took that spirit away yonder, and that he resurrected that body on the third day. He set it at his right hand, and we now dwell within that body by being translated into the Spirit of Christ. And we're no longer in this world as to this old bodily image, but as to the cocoon, the butterfly, it opens up as to the cocoon, and the butterfly flies away through the metamorphosis and becomes a heavenly creature. And then the worm is left to the earth as to those that cannot do that. So we are an unusual people. And the thing about this that's so great is that God hath delivered us from all of this by killing the body, and Satan cannot come beyond Calvary. He cannot get to us, because we are they that dwell in heaven. And you being sealed with the Holy Spirit as an angelic being of light on the inside, darkness can never touch your angelic being. It is perfect forever. It is sealed. You keep it by faith of that seed that remaineth in you until the change. And the darkness cannot get in there. Or that is, Paul said, being blinded by the darkness as to the ignorance within you, which is the mind of Lucifer that came through the fall as to the old beast, and that to Adam and Eve, and that unto death. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is the secret of eternal life. That is to be born again. Jesus said, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. I know there's a lot of people, you know, they think about the kingdom of heaven coming, and when I see the gates of pearls and whatever. But I tell you, God is a spirit, and that world is a spirit, and you're translated into that spirit by your spirit, going into his as an immersion, just like immersion, as I would take, as I say so often, as a simple illustration, I would take this safeguard and I would put it in my garment, and it would become interwoven, and stains could not penetrate. Though I get something on it, would not penetrate. You're just born again. You that have God, all these things are spilt all over you through this life, but nothing never penetrates. And the worm never gets into the core of the apple. He never gets into the seed. It's always as to the life withdrawn from the body, hid within the stone, which is the seed on the inside until the time of reproducing or replanting. Seed falling into the ground, dying, it brings forth much, Paul said. If it doesn't die to a surrender of the outer man, it don't bring forth nothing. So then we know that at the last trump, the mystery of God is to be finished. And it says here, when this angel sounds, beginning in the book of Revelation, the 8th chapter, it tells of the angels and the 7 trumpets, and how that they sound, even to the opening of the bottomless pit and the falling of the stars, and the sea turning into blood, and the mountains burning with fire. And then it gets on over to the fifth angel. The fifth angel sounds, and then after that there are 3 more angels that sound. And the Bible said these 3 angels are called the 3 woes, as woe, woe, woe. And when 2 of these woes have sounded as to the opening of the bottomless pit, the battles and whatever, then there's 1 left. And there's a breach in between that 6th and 7th one. And the breach is where the angel sets 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea, lifts his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, time should be no more, which brings Calvary into view. Now, this angel is called, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you for just a minute. I get started preaching at you, but talking to you for just a minute, Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And here, y'all have to preach to sinners. They need to repent and get right. But when it comes to people of God, I like to teach them, Jesus' teacher. Here we see that the angel sounds as to the 6th angel. And then the breach, and this mighty angel, which has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, he's called the mighty angel by the Jews. And the Jews don't know any different because they've never known Jesus. They never did know the Messiah. They never knew him as anything but the mighty angel. And in this particular perspective, you are back in a perspective of the Jews. And the days of the Gentiles is over, and this is the middle of the week. And the 7 years that was taken away from the 490 is back now and come in. And in this is the middle of that week. And so the Jews are looking to see him as the mighty angel again. And he's on the verge of revealing himself to them as the nailed prince, and to let them know that he's the Messiah. But right now, his one foot on the land, one on the sea, that is to say, in the spirit and in the natural, his hands reach as to from everlasting to everlasting, and his head goes into the heavens, or that is to say, the mind of Christ is the headship of the body, is on the throne, and that where the rainbow is up here. And we could go on and go on as to these things of describing this angel and telling what he has to do with. But in the meantime, that is the coming of the mighty angel. Now, as I talk with you just a minute or two, we'll probably get to hollering at you in a few minutes. But anyway, the Bible said, by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. Here, this mighty angel intervenes. As he intervenes, it is said to John, come get the book, eat the book. You got to prophesy some more. That is, you got to preach some more. You got a lot of things to do. Kings, all these people, you got things to do. But he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mystery will be finished. Now, when the mystery is finished, what does it do? It unveils everything that was hid as in the secrets of God. For the original rendering of the word mystery here is given as secret. It said, secret shall be finished. And we use the terms a lot of times as to an approach with this, as to the word of the Lord said, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And Paul spoke of the veil being over the minds of the people as to the Jews, which I say is still over the minds of the people today, which veil is taken away in Christ Jesus. Only to them that come to Christ is this veil of death as to that intellectual thing dissolved that came into Adam and Eve as carnal reasoning, whether it be of religion or whatever it be of. And in death there's no life, for life is in the Spirit. So it said, and in the days of the voice, immediately going to Revelation 11, the two prophets come on the scene, and or it is shown that they're on the scene to prophesy 3.5 years, and then it shows their death. And with this death, it also says in 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And that's why that we've flown the flag for numbers of years, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And that's why that Mr. Bush received the flag, and that's why Mr. Reagan received the flag. And that's why that the flag, though it seemed ever so insignificant, had great significance. So here we see that Daniel, and we're going to start right along there and say just a few things and try to let you go, because I spent quite a bit of time with you already. Here we see, and I go back one more time to the prophecy of Daniel. Why do I do that? Because we're in the end of the world. We are in the end time. I read to you about Jerusalem here, New Jerusalem coming down. I'm reading to you about the sounding of the trumpet as to the mysteries of God being finished. That those mysteries being finished will reveal what was in the seven thunders. Because the seven thunders not being revealed, and that the Lord said, seal them up. Then he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery should be finished. And those things remain a mystery. And that means that they have to be finished. And what will they do? Translate the church. They will translate the church. For is it given to the church to be as carnal as the church is today, with ball games and interested in sports and interested in eating and drinking and buying and selling and a charismatic way of life that doesn't care anything about a life of holiness and on their belly eating and drinking, and you call those the people of God? That could never be in the denominations or in the great move of the evangelists or in the charismatic order or anything else. Those people are blind. The Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And as I've said a number of times, I made the statement that that kind of move would come forth and the Pope would praise it. And sure enough, just recently, having those people as to the charismatics, he said he wanted to bless them and was glad that his children had come. So, we're at home and they're at home. Now, What are we doing? We're trying to live a life of holiness because of living a good, holy, godly, overcoming life. Is that what's going to save us? No, that doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. It is because we are born of the Holy Spirit and the nature of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He presents His body, or Himself, in the members of His body as accordingly, always the same yesterday, today, and forever, as in the body of Jesus, so is He in you today. And He never changes. He never alters His way of life. So then it is Christ in you that is producing those fruits. And Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. Someone would say, well, Jesus said that, but I try to do what I can. I know what's right and I do it. If that is true, why is it that the Bible said the body without the spirit is dead? What do you do when they put you in a coffin? How many times do you move or blink your eyes or talk? Or what do you hear? Or what can you say? See, you don't do nothing. It's the spirit that does it. And that spirit, as to your spirit, if you are born again, is interwoven with the Christ Spirit. And He it is that doeth the works. You don't even know what to pray for. The Bible said you don't even know what to pray for. But the Spirit within your heart maketh intercession, searching the minds of the Spirit, knoweth how to intercede for the saints. As to Aaron within this tabernacle, this body which is in this intellectual wilderness of wandering, trying to figure things out, trying to get over the Jordan of the intellectual into the Canaan of the mind of Christ. Now, so then, if you're not born again, it is not you that's doing something. It is Satan. Because the Bible says that if you are of this world, and if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father isn't there. And the Bible says that you, as the children of this world, are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. Whatever the devil wants to do, them thoughts come to your mind and you do it, because he savors the things that be of the flesh. And he's the infiltration within the flesh of that body that Paul said must be taken away. And I've said this again and again to try to explain that at the rent veil of Calvary, the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the world, and our names written down there, and life given to us from the foundation of the world. And then at the rent veil of Calvary, what did He do as to Christ? He rent the veil in twain, saying, destroy this temple, speaking of His body, and I'll raise it up in 3 days, which He did. And they thought, being naturally minded, the temple being a type as to the natural temple, many years we were in building this temple. And you say that you can do that? But after His resurrection, they understood that He spake of His body. So then He rent the veil in two. He took the body and the spirit, and He separated the body from the spirit. And the body was buried in a watery grave, and the spirit went back to God who gave it. And so today, as I said, He did not do that for Himself. He did that for me. He rent my veil in two, and He buried my body in a watery grave. And He took my spirit and translated it into His spirit, and took His spirit into the heavenlies, and hid that spirit in the body of the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father, or the resurrected body. So today, this life is flowing down from that head through these members. It's not anything that I do. I only do what the Spirit does through my body. My body can do nothing of itself. Well, anyway, bringing out the little thoughts so we don't get misconstrued there on what salvation is, I thought we'd drop that in. But now, getting back to the mystery of God. Going back to the mystery, look at the days of Daniel. Here's Daniel. Daniel seeing the same identical plan to salvation, the same revelation that John the Revelator saw. And here he is seeing identically the same. He sees the body of waters. He sees four winds wrestling over the waters, which has to do with the four powers of the world today, east and west and north, southern. And he saw these powers wrestling to get control of the waters. And John makes it very plain that waters are symbolic of people. And he speaks of this Antichrist, this beast, coming up out of the waters, out of the Mediterranean Sea, as we would know it naturally. And so then here we look and we see the same vision, but we don't understand it. Daniel fasting and praying, saying, make me to understand what's going to befall my people. When we say my people, we're speaking of the Jews. Daniel was a Jew. And so then he said, my people. Now, when John comes along and John sees the vision, it's altogether different from the days of Daniel, because with Daniel, he said, Daniel, seal up this vision. Seal it up. It's until the end time. But when John comes and has the vision, the voice said, John, see that you seal it not, for the time is at hand. Now, right there is really a thought, folks. See that you seal it not, for the time is at hand. But Daniel, you seal it up, because it is for the end time. And then we read in the book of John, and the first thing he starts off with as to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the very first thing that he starts off with is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, and the time is at hand. When Paul saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, caught up to the third heaven, he communicated with Peter, and Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, said, the time is at hand, for this is the end of the world, and ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And sure enough, Paul caught up to the third heaven, and the world went out. The world went out like the old world went out as to 2,000 years with that flood, then 2,000 years at Calvary, and the world went out. It went out, and now we are on the third leg of it. And when we talk about first world and second world and third world, first heaven and second heaven and third heaven, and when we talk about the natural, the physical, the spiritual, first power and second power and third power, as they teach in school, first dimension, second dimension, and third dimension, and when we talk about these things that go into the water witness, the blood witness, and the spirit witness, then we've got much teaching to do. We've got much learning to do. We've got many days to try to understand. So then in this, we know then that God has something special for the church. Something special. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, when is he going to give it to the church? This is where the error of the people are. He hath already given it to the church. He gave it to us in Christ before the world ever was. And it has symbolically been covered up as through the teachings that the natural world cannot see it, because it is God's masterpiece that must be unveiled at the proper time. And ye inwardly, ye are that masterpiece. And this doesn't help a natural-minded person. It doesn't help a natural-minded person. What does this do? It confuses the natural-minded person. Why does it confuse them? Because they are an instrument of confusion. And they are children of darkness. And the Bible said this great, wonderful light of the mind of God, even this light of understanding, it shining in darkness, in that the Bible said in the end time, gross darkness shall cover the people. That it shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. The darkness cannot comprehend it. Though it shines in the midst of their intellectual error and ignorance, they cannot comprehend this light, for they cannot see when good comes as to the eyes of their understanding. They are blinded by the god of this world, even Lucifer, which is the god of darkness, having been made the ruler of darkness. So then, the children of light, how does this light affect them? They do comprehend. And the Bible said they comprehend the heights, they comprehend the depths, they comprehend the width, like this great angel that was on the waters, on the sea. See, they comprehend the height, they comprehend the width, they comprehend the length, they comprehend the depths. See, of this great, wonderful spiritual world, and in this, their spirit, having been translated into the Spirit of Christ, which is so mighty, they have become one with that life of Christ, which is eternal, and the body must thus change as this life inwardly is made manifest in these mortal genes. And in the change, they become eternal gods. Though you're already sons of God and gods inwardly, but this godship is to the manifestation of the inner God to be made manifest in your mortal genes as to the change, called the manifestation of the sons of God. And so then, in this, we realize that
We are in the end of the world. And this is the fullness of time. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, as to the generations of Calvary. Whereas you are a generation just now coming to Calvary, because this is Calvary's to your generation. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And how did He do that? By doing away with the law. And did He do away with the law for the Jews? Only in part. They are blinded in part until the days of the bride finishes and the end of the days of the Gentiles. And Paul said at the casting away of the Jews, be the reconciling of the world as to salvation to all, and blood on the seat of atonement upon the people. What will the receiving of the Jews be but resurrection from the dead? So I said as to the adoption through the law when the Jews come in, as to the change of this purchased possession, which is the creature itself, as to relating to the beast that shall be redeemed from the beggarly elements of this world and from that which He relates to, those things that emanated from God as to righteousness, the originality of God, and Satan taking them and perverting them as to a lying vanity, as Solomon said, all is vanity, and today the creature is vanity, and he relates to those natural things through his natural senses as to be a bond child and in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. And Christ kills him at Calvary, bears him, puts him away, and the angelic being goes into heaven as to back to God who gave it, the spirit at death, a body. So then we know that Calvary spells a great, wonderful turn of events. And what is it? It is the unveiling. It is the rent veil. It is to do away with the carnal mind. It is to separate the body from the spirit. For Jesus made in Himself twain, both the Lord and Christ, and the separation of that body from the spirit. It was separated. Why was it separated? So that your body would be dead in the sight of God, and God would never see that ugly creature anymore. And so that your spirit would go back to God who gave it, having been translated into the spirit of Christ. And then over at the end time, over here at Thessalonians chains, when the Lord brought forth the Jews, are the body as from the dead, as to those that are under the altar, as to Calvary, the big brazen altar, to bring them forth. Then come the adoption, then comes the change, then comes the law. And by the law comes the adoption as to the change, as to the creature. Then comes the manifestation of what you really are right now, according to the measure of that spiritual inter-angelic man that you have allowed to make manifest himself in your body. See, a lot of people don't have very much of a measure because they don't seek God. They don't seek anything but the world, and they're full of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. But when you're born again and the kingdom of God comes within you, and then this inner life begins to make itself manifest in your mortal genes. Then it changes your whole image into that glorious, wonderful creature, that image of God that stood you on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is your finished product as to your body. God making us in Christ to be what He wanted us to be. Knowing that we were insufficient as to the cost, then the giants as to the evil spirits overpowering us, He put a power inside of us as to Christ to overpower all of those things, and that any spot or blemish would never penetrate this body. And this body was dead, so He'd never see it. And so then the spirit on the inside, Christ, interwoven with your spirit, has sealed you unto the body that stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. Even the wonderful, glorious body of the Lord Jesus, which body ye are, as to what God has foreseen. Saying to the Jews, giving them those robes that I preached the other night, the fifth chapter, the souls under the altar, the fifth seal that is in the sixth chapter, and giving them robes to say, you must remain here until the Holocaust is finished, until all this is finished, and your brethren, the Jews, must die the same way that you die. And then after that, I'll bring you forth. But here is my body. I'm the Lamb. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said. And they being dead by natural death, as it would be, then they rested in their lot in the faith of Abraham. They put these bodies on as Jesus gave them the beautiful garment of His own body. Seeing as in the end time, He spoke to us like this, saying, I counsel of you to buy raiment that's tried in the fire. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the natural as to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't do that. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So then in this, we see that we are the body of the Lord Jesus, and we have been baptized into death to put on this body, not having to die naturally as they had to die, because they died naturally, therefore they received the garments. As he went into the heart of the earth, the Bible said, and they could not be made perfect without us. But when he, as to whom the promise was made, the seed, not as the seeds of many, but as of one, when the seed came, then the Bible teaches that that which was in part was done away with, which was the law. And it was folded up, and it was laid away. And now that which is perfect is coming. Someone would say, well, what do you mean that which is perfect? For the Bible said, as to the coming of that seed now, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. So then you are perfect. Ye are that which is perfect. They were not that which was perfect. For the Bible said these all died in the faith under the law, not having received the promise, but confessing as to Abraham's seed, saying, we see it afar off, even as Abraham searching for the city whose builder and maker is God, which building had foundations as to those that Jesus had laid. And so we see that we are perfect. We see that we are perfect. For now that which is perfect is come. For they could not be made perfect without us. But now then we are made perfect by the blood of the Lamb. And we are perfected forever. Made perfect by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect inwardly by His Spirit that is given to us. Perfect outwardly by the change of this body which God has already seen take place out yonder in the Thessalonian change. So that means that we are the perfect ones. And God hath brought forth now that which is perfect. And we do not see through a glass darkly as the intellectual ignorance of that which was caused by the infiltration of that spiritual mind of Lucifer from the tree of knowledge that infiltrated Adam and Eve. We don't see through that intellectual contrariness. We see through the wonderful eye of God, the wonderful eye of faith, the wonderful mind of Christ, and we understand perfectly, and we know as we are known. Because the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And Jesus said, what my Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you, which is all things. And he said, let this mind of Christ be in you. The writer said, or God said, as it was in the body of Jesus, which is the knowledge of all things. For the Bible said, he giveth not the Spirit unto the Son by measure, but the fullness of God. As to Jesus, it was in Jesus Christ, and there's no other human body. There is no other human image. There's only one image, and man was made in that image till he lost the Shekinah and found himself among the beasts. So then the body of the Lord Jesus is the only human form outside of you as memberships that there is of the God body. For the Bible said the fullness of the God, bodily speaking, is in Christ Jesus. And God the great Father, being a spirit, hath manifested himself fully, that is to say, to work in no other way except through the blood of Jesus, to any cause or anything throughout eternity. And everyone that cometh to the Father must come through that blood. And the only way to come through that blood, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I believe in the blood and I've had the blood applied. But how have you had the blood applied when you've never called on the name of the Lord Jesus? When the Bible says, as concerning Paul, go down to the street called Straight, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, calling on the name, and wash away your sins. And when you get the blood, you've got to be identified with the name. The law identifies you with whatever you say, whether it's slander or whatever, whatever name you come in. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. I've kept them, Father, in your name. And he said, I'll give you another name that no one knows. Because of the eternal Spirit being manifested fully in that body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration, when they said, let us build three tabernacles, the voice said only one tabernacle. There is a Moses as to a law, and there's an Elijah as to the prophets. But all of this is what emanated from me through the body of Jesus Christ in the beginning. For of him and by him and to him be all things, even the praise, the honor, and the glory. For the Bible said all things were made by him and for his glory were they made, and nothing was made otherwise. And Jesus said, I alone stretched out the heavens. There was no other God to help me. He said, where is there another God? This foolishness about teaching three gods as co-equal, that is foolishness. Jesus said, where is there another God? I know not of any. I am God, he said, and I am God alone, he said. And I stretched out the heavens alone, and when I did it, there was no one there to help me. So that's why the Jews emphatically state one God, and we say one God, one faith, one baptism. See, so we know then that Calvary took away our iniquities. The rent veil was there. God separated. He buried the body, took the angelic being away, and we are free from sin. And he fulfilled the law. The law is gone. Now you have the kingdom of God within you. Now you are dwelling in heaven. Now you are children of the faith. I know we talk about a rapture. See, but I say this so often. There is no such thing as a teaching of a rapture. That is still another man-made application. You don't find that word as to the teaching of a rapture. No, the word rapture does mean caught up, and we will be caught up. But when you apply the thing as a rapture, it is besetting because it causes thousands of people to sit around and wait for something to happen that isn't going to happen. See, we are changed inwardly from glory to glory, which means as to the travail, it's of the woman for the headship. No physicians can help there. And then when that's over, the physicians, as to the church ages, have to bring the child forth from the matrix. As to the end. But the thing is, when the headship is born and it's healthy and well, it indicates that there is a child with life and not a stillbirth. And Jesus at the right hand of the Father, this is happening. Now here we are, folks, almost down to the end of the church ages where the child is almost fully shown. As the finishing of the mysteries in that when the child, as to the last part of the child comes forth from the womb and the little toes are seen, then we know the finishing of the mystery. And this is what it looks like. And this is what it is. Even as the Christ's body, which we know not what it looks like until the time of the change. As to the finishing, when the head presents itself and all of a sudden from the spheres it comes, and all of the members coming together as to that has been preached to down through the church ages and the membership of the body, and there they stand as the wonderful God of heaven, even the body of the great eternal spirit. All right, so then we know that, not going into detail as we have on some tapes as to what Daniel said, but bringing that part up to bring about a thought. We know then that as to the new birth, we have to be born again. We have to be born again. I tell you one more time, this body cannot be born again. There's no need of you trying to get this body born again. You can't get it born again. It's been born one time, and that was of Adam. And when that was born, it was born to be that until death. It cannot be born again. It is unto death. And all you can do with this body is to bring it forth at that proper time when the Bible speaks of the adoption. If this body could be born again, then you wouldn't have to die at all. And even though this price is paid as to the purchased possession, that the mystery of transfiguration as well as translation and transformation. This transfiguration is given to us in Christ, but we've got to comprehend it down through the church ages as to the compound teachings unto the law, till the Lord brings forth the life at sevenfold. And then the doors open and John went up into the heavens. But anyway, until then, this body still has to wait for the change. It is born to Adam. Now, you are born again on the inside of the Holy Spirit, which means God's a spirit and you're born of the Spirit. And so you are a spirit and you're no longer a living soul. Your life that was in the body is not in the body anymore. It went out at death. For at death, the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And when Jesus was crucified at Calvary, your life left that body. Reckon yourselves to be dead by his body as to the sinful body delivered, and that finishes it and buried out of the sight of God. And don't pimper and pamper this flesh and want to jog and build the muscles and make it look pretty so you'll be lustful and just be
a devil incarnate to draw women or men or whatever and cause trouble. Get rid of that old infiltration of that old face of yours and that old body of yours, and mortify the deeds of the flesh, and grow in the strength and power, the might of the inner man. As to the women, let them be shamefaced. As to the men, let them be grave. Do away with this outside thing. See, so that means that this body will be changed when the Jews come in. They went out at Calvary, indicating the death of the body, and when they come back in, it'll indicate the life of the body. But since God cannot look upon the image of iniquity, in which image you're made, then God having taken it away at Calvary, Daniel said he'll come and do away with iniquity, then doing away with that image, then here we are standing as to come to the wonderful knowledge of God, as to the change. The Jews coming in, which means when God looks down, instantaneously we'll be changed, because he'll see us through the blood, and we'll change into the wonderful, glorious image of the Son of God, that God can never, never look upon our image of iniquity. So then we know that God is bringing us to this now. We sing that little song, God is bringing forth a man-child, Christ within you and me. Travailing, Paul said, till Christ be formed within you and me. All of this ministry that's running around with television and glamour and in the sick behind the sacred desk and money and trying to get themselves in a magazine or on television or whatever, that's Satan. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. But it looks so good because they're teaching healing and prosperity. Everything that the flesh likes, they're preaching that. See, preaching, just like Satan quoted the scripture to Jesus. And they know people aren't going to refuse that because that's what people are looking for. But it's been a devastating thing to the great, wonderful church, because it has called the whole world to get into error. And we made a prediction years ago that all those stars would fall because they were wandering stars. And all those churches would fall because they are reflectors, which are wandering stars. But that ye just set steady, hold your post of duty. Let this wonderful life of holiness on the inside be made manifest in your body, that you might be holy in body and spirit. Jesus has already done the works for you. We're his workmanship in Christ, as to the Father, and we are a finished product in Christ Jesus. Nothing like it. And this child that's forming on the inside, he will be made manifest. As it was in the Old Testament, when a child is born, then the mother has an inheritance, which indicates as to the bodily carrying, but that's the female part right there. So in all these things, and many, many hundreds of things that we would have to say, folks, which would take many hours, we just try to bring a little bit in each sermon and try to get it on tape or printed into the books, to where we can not only give it here but throughout the world, so that you can understand and you can pray over it and talk to God about it, and the great, wonderful Holy Spirit will enlarge it on the inside, and he will make this light to shine, and you'll understand more and more as you transformate into that wonderful glory, not as to a rapture, but as to this wonderful day star dawning within your heart, where, as the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give him the bright and the morning star, which is Christ within you, the hope of glory. And we do overcome in that the Bible said, and they overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, as to believing unto righteousness, even his righteousness with the heart, and the confession unto salvation, in that from the heart the mouth speaketh. And with this, the confession unto salvation. And the Bible said they overcame Satan, him, Lucifer, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. All that is testifying to what he did in their behalf. God sent his word and healed. And today we preach you that word, even that word of faith. The Jews had it, not been mixed with faith. It did not profit them that heard it. But you have faith. You have faith. You are children of God. I want you to stand with me. I had a real interference this morning. I don't know whether you noticed or not. But the reason I did, there was somebody here that didn't want to accept this. And they were determined that they weren't going to accept it. And they didn't. But there's one thing about it. When they lift up their eyes in hell with all of their religious attire, and all of the things that they so wanted to do to substantiate their way of life and prove their point, they would give 10 billion worlds if they could at that moment to be reinstated just for 1 minute, to confess that they were wrong and to embrace this wonderful Christ of God and this wonderful understanding. But every man has to do what he's born to do. Judas went to his place, and every man must go to his place. He must do what he wants to do. And I say this to you, as I've said in the past. One of the greatest errors of mankind, God has not given us the spirit of error. And one of the greatest errors is a religious error. When someone has religiously indoctrinated themselves to their own desire, their own way, to heap to themselves teachers, that's what they want to hear, and who they want to hear, bringing upon themselves swift damnation. That's one of the greatest errors there is in the world today. And if that's what you want, and I say that not as just to a congregation here, but this goes out around the world. If that's what you want, and you're determined to have it, then Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. You've heard the gospel, and the gospel of Christ, and that the fullness of the gospel. As to what little time I had to bring it today, and there's thousands of tapes with these wonderful things on there as unto salvation. But in all of these things, as to bringing out the mysteries, I try to revert back, which makes it very difficult because we have babes in Christ, and it's very difficult to be able to give them the milk of the word and still bring that thing around to give you the meat of the word, and especially if you have rebellion in the audience. But nevertheless, the Bible said not to sit on the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Whose delight is in the laws of God, and them they do meditate day and night? But I say unto you, as Paul preached unto those, the Bible said, in the elect, as those that were foreordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest did not believe, but were blinded, even Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes by the ignorance within them, as to go on their way and do their thing, that he might use their body unto death, as to a parasite. And so then I say, your blood be upon your own head. Paul shook his garment, went his way, and the blood was upon his own head. Watchman of the wall, what of the night? Darkness, intellectual, night. You're out there, you're elevated, you're an overseer. What of the night? You're supposed to watch while the people sleep. And if that watchman on the wall slept, then it cost him his life. But if he watched, he could see the enemy afar off before they approached the walls, and he could save the people. And I will set watchmen upon your wall that shall never hold their peace. So, watchmen, what of the night? All is well because of Christ. All is well because of Christ. At the midnight cry, all were asleep. All were asleep. Someone would say, well, I've got this thing figured out. I don't need nobody to tell me. I do what I want to. I understand. But the Bible said you was asleep. It don't matter what you got figured out. It don't matter whether you are a wise virgin or a foolish virgin. The Bible said they all was asleep. And there wasn't anybody watching but the watchman on the wall. So at the midnight cry, those that were asleep, Paul spoke of not sleeping, awakening, and that to eternal life, some to eternal content. But at the midnight cry, the good thing is those that had gone to sleep, that had the all, they just trimmed their little wicks and they checked their oil in their lamp and they took that spark, as the Bible said in Satan, the people of Satan, and Satan shall oppress the children of God until they beat them down, and then the children of God shall rise, take the kingdom, and the hour is here. Not only the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdoms of the world to come. So then the cry is coming forward. And the virgins that are pure, that kept themselves, that were not foolish, that did not waste their all into the Bible, to the candle of the Lord, that is the spirit of man searching out the inward parts. If you don't do what I tell you, I'll move your candlestick. And the candlestick, of course, had oil in that day. And here we have the Holy Spirit. Go on, receive the Holy Ghost. If you believe, receive the oil. And without that spirit, that's to Christ's spirit, which is the oil, you don't have an eternal life. You don't have any. That's why I say again, I chatted with them a lot of times when they put this little synthetic type paint that's scientifically proved to take care of your house because it breathes. I said, you better put some oil in that wood because oil resists water. And if there is no oil, the water comes in. And when it absorbs the water and the sunshine comes and pulls it out, it takes the preservatives as to the elements that's in that wood. Doesn't matter what science say, it takes it out and that thing rots. So the better thing is to get the oil. At the midnight cry, they had the oil, they lit their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom because they had light to see. But you that have your eyes blinded by the ignorance that is within you, the intellectual rebellion of concept as to your own end and what you want to do, your blood be upon your own head. Let's sing this little chorus together. John said the revelation of Jesus Christ the time is at hand. Let him that is unjust be unjust still, and let him that is just be just still, and let him that is holy be holy still. We're going to sing this little chorus together. I appreciate you coming this morning. I certainly appreciate this family coming and being with us, and appreciate you coming. Brother Mike's mother was here the other night. She comes down every once in a while. Whether she's here or not this morning, I can't tell because of the light blur and things back there, but she was here standing back over to my left, and I didn't speak of her because I didn't recognize her. Like I said, I have a little problem with women because they change their hair so much and their hairdos till I don't know when they come. I don't know who I'm talking to, and that's the truth. And I look at them a lot of times. It's one that's been here a number of times, and I look and I think, well, I think that is, but I'm not sure. I better not embarrass them and me. And sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm wrong about who it is. That's why I don't call you out if I can't have a note up here, if I can't be sure. I don't want to embarrass you and I don't want to be embarrassed. All right, let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet, precious spirit. Sweep over my soul. Sing this with me now like this. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail wild seas no more. Though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, my Lord. I need thee and every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need. The altars are open while we sing. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again, so let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior. Let us hear his loving voice and don't turn him away. Sing this little chorus. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. Help in my heart, I can believe. Then I'll overcome someday. Gonna walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold. Walk on streets of gold someday. Help in my heart, I can believe. I'll walk on streets of gold someday. Gonna shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. Gonna shake my Savior's hand someday. Help in my heart, I can believe. I'll shake my Savior's hand. Sing it with me now. For we're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome. We're gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then we're gonna overcome. Sing it one more time. Oh, I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll overcome someday. I don't need no gold or silver. Sing that with me. I don't need a diamond ring. All I need is love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the pretty things. I'll just take the love of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, praise his name. So I don't want no gold and silver, and I don't want a world of fame. All I want is to walk with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, I'm so glad he came. So you can have all your gold and silver, and you can have all the pretty things. I just want more of Jesus. Glory, glory to his name. She, they poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. And he poured in the oil. Sing that with me. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth the soul. Found us bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. sing this little chorus together, Brother Tony. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Let's sing that little chorus. They sang this in the island. I remember we had a great crusade there in the island, and they had to tear out the walls for the people to get in to the church, and God gave them a great, tremendous work there in the island, and then turned, and as this one individual moved into Jamaica, gave him such great, mighty church as we went back to preach for him, where he could get so many multiplied hundreds of people into the church, and it gave him favor with the ruler of the island and even the Queen of England. And being her special guest and had the privilege to do whatever he wanted to, all because he opened the church to us and was willing to tear out the wall of his church that we might reach the people. Okay, let's see if we can sing another chorus. They sing this chorus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sing it one more time. So we'll long. Come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home, the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more, for the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and sing that again with me now. For time, can you lift your hands to heaven and close your eyes? No more, no more, and time shall be. Remember now, Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world will come. Having heard Paul the Revelator talk, he said, Paul said things hard to be understood. They that are unlearned rest these things to their own destruction. For time, for the Bible says that the Holy Scriptures is of no private interpretation. Though you go to college much, though you study books, though you might do all those things, the Bible said God has set this wonderful understanding higher above your understanding as a man, as to the heavens is the earth. Made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. Pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation, Paul said. One spirit, many operations. And if you'll ask God, he giveth to all men freely. So time, you're the people upon whose ends of the world have come. The fullness of time, God having sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, he gathered all things into the wonderful ark, is that symbolic, as of which was made, pointing to Christ. Everything was gathered into it, folks. And today we are safe as the wrath of God is poured out from heaven, from Calvary, and shall reach its great climax in the tribulation period. Be not afraid of him that's able to destroy the body after that can do no more, but rather him that's able to destroy the soul in hell after death strikes the body. This is the end of the world, and the time is at hand when the revelation came. Because with the revelation, the knowledge as to the word of translation of the church in their faith takes place. And when that takes place, that's the end. There is no more. The gospel is going into all the world for a witness by satellite and wherever it's to missionaries. People have rejected it. They have their own way of thinking, their own way of doing things, and they're going to do it to the ultimatum of their end. And nobody's going to change their mind. Scientists say, when a mind's made up, you can't change it. And they've made up their mind. But God has changed yours by the innermost dwelling of the great Holy Spirit as to make you to be clean and holy and righteous and pure, and to give you the mind of Christ, that you are now dead by the body of the Lord Jesus as to that body that couldn't be changed, and you are now alive forever by the Christ on the inside, which is the hope of glory as to the mind that pleases God, the mind of faith. So then you are the precious children of God, and we're all here, not as to a rapture, but as to a change from glory to glory, as this wonderful mind reveals itself as Christ is formed within you, and that is unto the birth and the opening of the matric of the child. So then the image is ready to be presented. Jesus is ready to come back. Everything is just right. The signs are just right. The calendar dates are just right. Everything is just right. And the government is corrupted, and the law is corrupted. The church is corrupted. Humanity has corrupted itself. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. And that means that everything is right there now. So, in that we are tutored and taught, by faith right into the heavenly world. And when the last one is tutored and taught into this wonderful faith of Jesus Christ, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, then it happens. I say so often, and I remind you again, as these that are waiting for a rapture, which of course there will be a change at the Thessalonian change, coming of the Lord, but as to them that are waiting for the rapture, as it is called, I say again, the Bible said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, sounding of the last trump, and from mortality to immortality, corruptible to incorruptible, from the terrestrial to the celestial. But I say as to the error of that, as waiting for a rapture, you say, I'm here, I'm waiting for a rapture. I say, I'm sorry you missed it. When I clapped my hand the first time, it was all over, you missed it. So you can see how foolish that is. Or I say, you're waiting for the rapture. I say, I'm sorry you missed it. Just as I blinked my eye, it took place. See, folks, that's foolishness. Here's what you've got to remember is just like in school, going from the elementary side of life and say, well, little babes, what are you going to do? The Bible said he's going to reveal it to them. So as it was when the little babes praised Jesus going into the temple and the great scholars was confounded, he said, why have you never read in the scripture that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings God hath perfected praise? So see, you can't go by those foolish old wives' fables. What you've got to do is take the word of God, apply yourself, and folks, you're going right on into glory. From Egypt to Canaan, you're on your way. You're on your way. You're moving right on in. And God hath, that's true, the beginning anyway, translated your spiritual being, which is the only form of life, into the wonderful Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God within you. And all you're doing is just making manifest in your outer mortal being as this wonderful heavenly treasure in your bodily genes as to the life of Christ. So you're not looking for anything anywhere. That's already done. That was done before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary. Your understanding that is to be preached, that you might believe it, and it might take place, even in your mortal genes. Well, anyway, kind of running like a racehorse this morning and saying things so I could get in at least a few little words. Slow down just for a few minutes, and we're going to let you go. But this is the end of the world. You may not be able to see it. It's the end of all things. The time is at hand. You might not be able to see it, but it's so anyhow. And the little sheep are supposed to follow the shepherd. That's why it's so important that they know their shepherd and know them that labor among them, or they have the right kind of shepherd. Because hundreds and millions of people in the world today are leading people and leading them to a devastation of God as to a carnality, as to a natural thing, and as unto death. So
save the ritualistics and formalities and all these things in which there is nothing for the soul. But folks, the word of life and the word of spirit goes deep down on the inside of your heart. Even when 70 of them practiced casting out devils and had great exuberance and great ministries in that day, yet when it came down to the word, they didn't know nothing about the word. And Jesus said, you should have rejoiced over the fact that your name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or that is, he said, this is the thing you need to rejoice over, not having a big ministry of casting out devils and all this kind of thing they have today of preaching healing. See, the blood is on the seat of atonement. The rain is coming down on the tear, and the tear is jumping up and down just like the wheat. You can't tell no difference. If it wasn't for the elect, you'd never know the difference. You'd be deceived. But anyway, we do know the difference. And inasmuch as we are a shepherd, in that God sendeth the one to speak his word, then there are shepherds that speak God's word. They love the Lord and they love the flock. And they're not hirelings that flee when the wolf comes. Neither are they wandering stars that are seeking admiration and fame and popularity or money or position or whatever might be obtained in this world as to those kind of things. And in this, you have eternal life. Let me tell you, you're not trying to get eternal life. You have eternal life. And the only rapture there is the catching up as to that will be the result of what already has happened. Beloved friend, you're not going to be caught up and be changed. You are going to allow this that you already are on the inside as sons of God in the mind of Christ as to whatever your measure is to bring you to a 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold or child or feminine or masculine place. And with this, that life on the inside is going to be made manifest in your mortal genes. And as it's manifested in your mortal genes, you'll be changed right here in this present world, even before the millennium comes in. And that will be it. You're already in heaven. Your inner man is already translated into the kingdom. You're trying to make heaven manifest in your mortal genes as to change this image. And until then, you've got to take the shield of faith to keep the devils off of your physical being until the creature itself or the purchased possession begins to enjoy the wonderful liberties of the sons of God, which liberty is within you as to that light that darkness can't touch. So let's do this wonderful thing for Christ. Let's develop. Let's love the Lord. Let's make it manifest. And you'll find that millions of people will be standing around at that translation and they won't make it. I'm going to say this right here because I'm trying to close right here. Coming out of the Nevada meeting there when I had the vision, I saw the translation. I saw, as it was, only 4 or 5 people. Out of all that was around, I only saw 4 or 5 people that made the translation. The rest of them, what will happen? Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth, even the tribulation period, when people will gnaw their tongues for pain. See, you are escaping it. You already have through the foreknowledge of God, and you already have in the translation into the kingdom, and you already are even going on to make this thing manifest in your body, which is the chains that people refer to as the rapture. See, as to the chains, let's go on, make this manifest. But why wait till the chains? Why not make this thing manifest to where you can do something for God? That inner Christ overpower the evil powers that's in other people's lives and in your life and be a champion for God. Whether you're male or female, there's neither male nor female in Christ. Do something for God. See, and here's the thing. If we do, our light will so shine that men may see our good works, glorify our Father in heaven and come to repentance, and we'll have jewels in our crown of life as those that are radiant that will shine throughout eternity in the brightness of the glory of this wonderful, wonderful understanding. Let's sing this little chorus together that we sing so often. Many things we'd like to say unto you. Some are dull of hearing. Some are listening good. And I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
slain. Can you praise him with me? See, there's no need to praise ourselves. If it was of works, then I'd have whereof to boast. I'd praise myself. But in that it's all by him, and it's just the manifestation of his glory within me that brings the fruit unto the change of my body, then I praise him. I love him. I glorify his darling, wonderful name. He is so sweet to me. Hallelujah. I can feel the Holy Ghost just talking. As Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on him. I feel it falling. I feel people's faith go up as they offer the adoration to the Lord Jesus. Praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. If you've never given your heart to God, now's the time to give your heart to God. If you've never made the great commitment, make it. Said, I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And sure enough, folks, if you don't have eternal life, someone would say, how can I know? The Bible said, if the love of the world as to the flesh is in you, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, and the love of God isn't there. But the kingdom of God can replace the world with the brightness of that revelational coming as he openly shows himself to you on the inside as the inner man, hiding away in the little chamber, lost in the shuffle. People in the world, we sing that song, going back to the temple in search of his hands. Lost in the shuffle of the world. You're not lost in the shuffle. Let Christ be in you. The Bible said, examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Prove it, that whether you be reprobates or not. And if you do these things, as to love and peace and mercy and long-suffering and gentleness and patience and the manifestation of all these things as the godliness, then you know you can never fall. For the Bible said, they that do these things shall never fall. That's the proof of Christ within you, the hope of glory. One more time, we're going to sing together. And I want to praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I'm going to ask Willie, Brother Willie Hope, to come up and dismiss us if he will. Him glory all ye people. Oh, this blood that's washed the wicked. One more time together, can we sing it? Don't forget the services tonight. Invite somebody to come. Remember, the Bible said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. And you need to go out and tell them to come in. Invite somebody. Somebody had a dream the other night that we had so many people under the tent, were so overflowing that we couldn't get them in. I know we're looking for a great camp meeting. I trust that you're coming to camp meeting. I know of some people that's coming out of India, some people coming out of the Philippines, and different people coming from different places around the different parts of the world, and lots of people, different people coming from the different parts of the states. They're wanting to come. Some we haven't seen in a number of years. You pray, fast a little, tell somebody. Some of the ladies was going out giving out brochures and was doing a real good job of it, from what I heard. Sing it with me now as we close. And I will pray.